you'd help us to understand your words, help us to know how to apply them. I just pray that you'd help us to be faithful to your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, chapter 3:18 is how far we were able to get. To back up, chapter 3, verse 4 through 9 are very difficult for both Arminians and Calvinist or even Baptist alike. And it's mentioning quite several times over commandments. And since we need to remember that John continued being an apostle to the circumcision, so he's going to be focusing on a continuation of Jesus' ministry, which was an apostle to the circumcision. So when he mentions commandments, plural, most likely, if we want to pin in what commandments he's talking about, the most likely ones he's talking about would be the first and great commandment is love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and the second, love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, if that is a valid premise that I just gave you, we should see some evidence of it in the letter. And in chapter 3, he focuses on the loving thy neighbor. Okay, so that's enough there. And in chapter 5, verse 21, he mentions idolatry. So that falls in the loving thy God with all thy heart one. So those would be the two commandments that he's focusing on. And loving thy neighbor as thyself in the tribulation time period, because the Jewish people will be attacked mercilessly and will be running around the world, that anybody who sticks their neck out to help them is taking their life, is putting their life on the line. And that's kind of what he mentions in verse 16 at the second half. Well, verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And in that context, that would be a reference to Jewish brethren. Okay, if you would, hold your finger here. Go back to Zechariah 12. Zechariah 12. Verse 3, and this would be prophesied by Zechariah, and it is also prophesied in a couple of the Psalms. Psalm 79 was one. Psalm 79:11 talks about the sighing of the prisoner. Okay, in Zechariah 12, in verse 3, there's paragraph mark. It says, in that day, when we find that in the Old Testament, he is referring to the events around the second coming, and what precedes the second coming is a tribulation. So the Lord says, in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. So Jerusalem is going to be coming. The media is going to harp on Jerusalem and all this stuff, and it's going to become a burden to people. People get so sick and tired of it. But then he says, all that burden themselves with it, so people who carry a burden and try to help those people, shall be cut in pieces. So the ones who do try to help out the Jewish people and they get caught, they get sacrificed. They get cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. So all the earth is going to be gathered against Jerusalem. And in the modern history, that's what the Ten Boom family experienced when they reached out to help the Jewish people during World War II. When they got caught, they were imprisoned in concentration camps. And Mr. Ten Boom and Corey's sister died in the prison camps. And then she's the only one that made it through. And we could hear her testimony and thank God for her testimony. Okay, so that's the premise that I've been going through with this. And, of course, the pressure that's put on the Jewish people. Okay, in chapter 5, verse 21, my little children, keep yourselves from idols. And, of course, that's mentioned because Revelation 13, the Antichrist will make or have many, many idols made of his image. Now, Paul mentioned that an idol is nothing. Okay, to the born-again believer, an idol is nothing. Okay, we could look at idols and joke and make jokes about them. Okay, because we don't believe that they have religious or spiritual significance. I mean, Felipe was so funny when he sang one song. He was saying, "I don't care if it rains or freezes, as long as I got my plastic Jesus sitting on the dashboard of my car. I don't care if it's dark or dreary, as long as I have St. Mary sitting on the dashboard of my car." And so he would kind of sing that funny. And but still, the idea is that when we would see a statue, going by the statue in 41, that's nothing to us. But that statue is a magnetic draw for spirits. Okay? And when a person goes to that statue and with intent identifies themselves to that statue, saying it has religious significance, the spirit attached to that statue can put a hook in them. Okay, and that's why they're dangerous. Now, that doesn't mean that that person is bound to it, but it does mean that that now allows the devil to take them captive at his will. So he may or may not do that, but it blinds them. So that's even though to a born-again believer, the idol is nothing. But when intent comes in play, that's when the hook can be put in. So, and that's why that's very significant. Okay, in 1 John 3, verse 8, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him." And within this context is laying down your life for a brother. And then he says, "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we then have we confidence toward God." Okay, this confidence, he says in Hebrews, do not cast that away. If you would, hold your finger here and go to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10:35. Okay, because I don't think that we can imagine the pressure that's going to be put on people during the tribulation. Okay, just take the pressure of COVID. Okay, and multiply that times 100. I think we'd be getting close. And sadly, even till this day, there are some families split because some took the shot, some did not. Okay, my cousin went to his brother's house during this COVID stuff. And he walks in and his brother's wife said, "Well, I'm assuming that everybody's been vaccinated." And he said, "I'm not." And his wife, "I'm not." She said, "Then," and they left. I mean, what a thing. I mean, you're vaccinated, you're protected. That makes no sense. But that has divided people. And some folks can't even see their grandkids because that has divided people. Okay, now, increase that 100-fold, and I would dare say we're getting to the trib. And so in that process, a person's heart is going to go through a lot of fluctuations, emotions. Am I there? Am I here? Am I right? Am I strong? And he says in Hebrews 10:35, "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward." So in 1 John 3, he says, "Then we have confidence toward God." Now, the same idea of confidence, Paul says, we have no confidence in the flesh. So there he says, we have no confidence in the flesh. Hebrews says, I mean, 1 John says we have confidence in the Lord. Okay, and so this is, and then he says in Hebrews, don't cast that away because of the pressure that's put on them. 22, for whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Well, that's a funny thing. I've asked a lot of things and never received. Okay, and then he says, because we keep his commandments. His commandments. Who? His. Beginning of the letter, that which was from the beginning, that which we have seen, heard, that which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, the his is the Lord Jesus. And that's why we go back to those two main commandments. And so in the tribulation time period, the Jewish individual will need access to the Lord for miracles as they're running through life, trying to survive. And it's because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. In this context, what pleases the Lord is laying down your life for a friend. So it's funny, I looked at a couple of YouTube clips about snake handlers. You ever look at YouTube snake handlers on YouTube? It's kind of entertaining. But but the music, of course, is hypnotic. Okay, and the one I was watching is a new phenomenon, a new thing that I've never seen before, is where they'll take a propane tank, a little portable one, with the flame, and then put that over their hand, and then put that under their chin. Man, if the guy's got a beard, that's a dangerous thing to do. I don't know if they're mimicking Acts 2, where the flames of fire like was on top of their head. And then it's like, okay, we believe all the Bible. They're saying, you know, we can handle snakes, we can drink poison, and then they bring out the poison, you know, and all that stuff. And then one guy, you know, they got bit with a snake several times, but in that passage it says they shall recover. And one guy says, I can't play my guitar because that snake bit my head. What happened to that recovery? So they're always picking and choosing on those things. But the music, I thought, was very intriguing how they, and then they whip out these snakes, you know. And but still, that's the idea. They're picking and choosing. They should have zero duds, none whatsoever, if they take that passage completely. And they don't. They don't. So in 322... for that Jewish individual who is going to have the gift of tongues, because in the tribulation, there's no time to learn a language. They'll be running around the world. The Lord said, I'm going to scatter you from one end of the earth to the other end. And so this is what they're going to be capable. All those Jewish signs are going to come back in play. And so that's why in verse 22, doctrinally speaking, it's aimed at the Jew of the tribulation. And then he says, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. Okay, so there's that main second commandment, as he gave us commandment. So that's why I'm saying that we throw that in the context. 24, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. How do we know that the Lord abides in us? It's because of the written documentation of the book. That's how we know. He promised he'll never leave us, forsake us. He promised that if you're in Christ, Christ is in you. So this, doctrinally speaking, if you got to throw this in a different time period. Okay, then it says, beloved, believe not every spirit in chapter 4, but try the spirits, that whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Okay, if you drop down to chapter 4, verse 6, look at the second half. Hereby we do know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, no, it doesn't say we know truth and error. We know the spirit behind truth and the spirit behind error. Now, that will automatically show us truth and error, but knowing the spirit behind something, you can anticipate sometimes truth or error. And the reason why they're together, and they have to be together here, because Jesus prophesied in Matthew 13 in the seven great mysteries, he talked about the tares and wheat growing together until the end. And so that's the confusion amongst Christianity in America is when you have two opposing forces side by side, but they look the same. That's the confusion. In the churches, it's King James, New Bibles. And that's the confusing aspect of it. But the Bible says we can know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Okay, for example, if you hear someone, this is kind of a, you know, where you can get a heads up. You hear somebody, and say, the Holy Ghost. You get the Holy Ghost, the evidence of the Holy Ghost. Well, pretty much, you know, from the way they say Holy Ghost, two separate words, and they throw it into one word, you're probably dealing with a Pentecostal. Okay? The spirit behind sodomites is the voice. You know, the voice is, they didn't have that voice growing up until they thought they were sodomites. And I'm telling you, that's a spirit. That is not their normal voice. That's a spirit behind something. Okay, when I hear a fundamental Baptist say the King James Version of the Bible, as soon as he says it, I'm kind of suspicious because it King James should flow. It should flow. Now, I'm not saying it's an automatic. Okay, so we can try spirits. In 1 Corinthians 12, at the beginning of the chapter, it mentions that we are not to be ignorant of, and the topic is spiritual gifts. So that phrase, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, is seven times in the New Testament, six by Paul, one by Peter. And in 1 Corinthians, he says, I would not have you to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. And then it goes chapter 12, 13, 14, and 15 is a moreover added to the idea. And then 16 is a different topic. In the list of spiritual gifts, because 1 Corinthians was written around Acts 20, so God had not completely cut off Israel yet. So we're in that list of gifts. We're going to see sign gifts intermingled with gifts that are available to you and I. At the moment you got born again, the Spirit of God gave you one gift. Okay, a minimum of one gift. Now, chapter 12, 31 says, covet earnestly the best gifts. So that they put them in category. Tongues is the least of all of them. And besides, that's a sign gift, and that's mentioned in chapter 14. So there's a gift in there I believe we all need to pray for and ask for. It's 12 verse 10, the gift of discerning of spirits. Vital, vital. Sometimes as parents, it kind of comes into us when we have children. Okay, it just comes in. Okay, but the gift of discerning of spirits. Now, sometimes you can discern an evil spirit, an evil influence, and then sometimes it's kind of tough to figure it out. And you're not going to bat 1,000 on discerning of spirits, but still the idea, in my mind, what discerning of spirits does is at least gives us a warning flag. Okay, that's hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. That warning flag puts my antennas up, and then I will observe and try the spirits. Chapter 4, verse 1. Of 1 John, try the spirits. And you could, you know, if you feel an impression or something, just ask the Spirit, what do you think of Jesus Christ? And see if there's a response. Okay, and if just mentioning the word Jesus Christ, if that's an unclean spirit, that thing will go away. Because they don't like to be in the presence of that name, Jesus Christ. The spirits, unclean spirits, fear the name of Jesus Christ. The devil doesn't fear anything. And so, and we want to make sure we use the more of his name as possible, the Lord Jesus Christ, because if we just say Christ, that could be a counterfeit. If we just say Jesus, that can be a counterfeit. If we just say Lord, well, who is that? And so when you see Paul's writings, he will say Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, our Lord. And that really pins it down. So in this 1 John 4, these people are given the great admonition here that as they, you know, go through the earth trying to survive, there's got to be times where they could sense something's not right here. Maybe I better not come out from out of this rock, you know, in Petra. I'll stay back here. Or maybe if I'm running through this area, this is like Christians trying to survive in the Nazi days. It's like Christians in China trying to survive in certain locations. It's like Christians in Muslim countries where they got to discern, you know, who's lying to them, who's setting them up, who, and all this stuff. And so this trying of the spirits is a vital gift that is given when we covet that gift and pray for it. So in this day, definitely as in all days, but especially where this day and these days, deception is so easy to do. Okay, what did the media say last week? Oh, somebody broke into Nancy Pelosi's house and attacked Paul and hit him with a hammer. Right. A guy just breaks into their house with all the security cameras that they have. Right. I'm not buying it. A guy who's a nudist, a nutcase. Somebody's messing with us as usual. We got to question everything that's being put out in front of us these days. Every single thing. I think the first reaction ought to be, don't believe it. Because it's just a false flag. It's all fakery. If I believe real raw news, if I don't, I still enjoy reading it. But if I believe it, Paul is down there in Gitmo, is going to be tried. And may have already been tried. And if it's not true, I kind of enjoy reading it anyway. And can pretend that it's true. Okay, but the media, they just lie habitually. And then if a person believes in clones, and I'm not sure what I believe on that, but there's a guy back in 1979 talking about robots that they can produce that look like people. And he wrote this in 1979. Usually the military will release, if they have technology, they will not release it to the general public for 30, 40, or 50 years. And this was written in 1979. And so now we're hearing quite a bit about this. I saw an interview. There's a black guy. He's an actor. He's kind of on a lot of things nowadays. I forget his name. And they interview him, and a guy asked him, how do you do all this work? You've been doing so much work. He said, because I'm a clone. I have a clone. No, was he joking, or was he ratting it out? I don't know. And so I don't really know what I think about it. I think I've asked a couple military men that say it's true. I'm not sure what I think about that. That's just weird. And they're saying that they have a very short lifespan. So they can whip him out, a robot-y one, have him come out, do his thing, and then it just, I don't know, it goes away. I don't know what happens to it. But in our day and age with digital, with the TV screen, with the cell phones, deception is so easy. So easy. And people that believe that, well, I saw it on TV. Yeah, they broadcasted the moon missions too on TV. And who knows? You know, when I've watched rockets from NASA go, I would see those rockets go up and then they would curve and go this way. Why do they do that? And then Eric told me when he was in the Navy, they were out in the Atlantic Ocean and a rocket went up. He said that thing went up and then curved and went horizontal. He said, why did they do that? It's because they're splashing out there in the Atlantic Ocean. And that's the lies of it. That's the lies. And then some of them will eventually, you know, if they, you know, want to confess, some of them might come out and say it. And so I would, if this is an opportunity, it's a defense that's needed for the Jews of the tribulation, how much more we can benefit from it. So then he says, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Okay, the many false prophets, obviously the Lord warned about that. Be not deceived. Many are going to go out in my name. And then Revelation 13 reveals that the Antichrist will be able to heal people. Okay, and that gift of healing will be his go-to for deception. So false prophets. And according to 2 Peter 2, these false prophets will have a very large following. 2 Peter 2, in verse 1, you can see the false prophets mentioned there and false teachers. And then verse 2, many shall follow their pernicious ways. And verse 3, they will benefit monetarily upon their followers, and through covetousness and shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. And then all you have to do is get online and look at the personal wealth of Joel Osteen. Was it down there that a plumber was working in a bathroom? He found thousands of cash stuck in the wall. You know, that's, as a plumber, that's when I would probably not tell anybody about that. Oh, finders keepers, losers weepers. And then if you look at Joyce Meyer and the great big, you know, place she has, it's just phenomenal. Oh, these people have multi-million-dollar places. They're taking advantage of their people. And so, of course, this is foretold here. Okay, chapter 4, verse 1 or 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Okay, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. So this, some guys I've read about, heard about, that they think this is the real test. And I guess, you know, some of them said to like some Bible, do you believe Jesus Christ is coming to flesh? Well, actually, he did come into flesh. No, the Bible says is coming to flesh. Do you believe that? You don't believe that now, do you? You don't believe that. So you're a spirit of the Antichrist. Whatever, he will be have an appearance in the tribulation time period. So I guess a person could testify to that fact. But in our day, Jesus Christ is geographically at the right hand of the Father, but spiritually he's in each of us. And so if a person wants to take this as some, you know, notch on his belt to verify, and I'd heard Ruckman give a testimony where a young man pulled that on him, and Ruckman just told, run away, child. And that's probably the best way to handle it. Just run away, go away. because he's not rightly dividing scripture. But still, the idea, the general idea, is that unclean spirits do not like the audible, verbal name Jesus Christ. They don't want it mentioned. They don't like to be around it. James 2:19 says that the devils tremble. Okay, the devils believe in God and tremble. But then Job 41 says the devil himself was created without fear. Okay, then verse 4. Verse 4 is often used by people stating that they don't believe a Christian can be possessed by an unclean spirit. And I'm not going to fuss with somebody about that. Whether they're possessed or oppressed, you still get the same reaction. Blindness takes place, and sometimes control. And what they say is this: ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you that's in the world. Well, that's true. That's a true statement. Okay? But that doesn't mean that an unclean spirit can't be in the presence of a Christian. They obviously can be. I mean, the devil has to go to heaven to get some orders from God. He is in the presence of God. So, but the promise is that we have a greater power in Jesus Christ than these unclean spirits. And the sad thing is because, yeah, even the Baptist preachers don't study spiritual warfare. They don't want to talk about it. They see the Pentecostals, you know, always act on it. So then they overreact and they don't do anything about it. And they're not able to help people that have some grave issues with this. And the thing is often they see, like up in Highland, there's a place called Hedgewitch Baptist, something like that. And they kind of specialize in deliverance, they call it. And when they specialize it and put it out there, that's telling me somebody's infested. Because in the Bible, Jesus didn't look for it. Jesus didn't put out a shingle saying, I specialize in deliverance. It just, when it crossed his path like the maniac, he took care of it and moved on. That's how the pattern is in the Bible. So if that comes across our path, we know what to do. If it's a saved person, if they, you know, you want to make sure they say, are you born again? Who is Jesus Christ to you? He is the Lord of my salvation. Okay. Then the power resides in you. I'll just show you how to access the power. That way you can take care of it when you need to. And that's what 1 John 4:4 is talking about. But sadly, you know, many of the Bible believers don't talk about it. Ruckman has a series of booklets called Theological Studies. And on number 18, he has a page or two, which is enough information to help somebody get a victory over that. But sadly, most of them don't even read that page, because Ruckman understood it. I mean, he was into Buddhism before he got saved. He was into that astral projection and all that stuff. So he understood it. But a lot of his followers or whatnot, a lot of the students, they don't mention it. They don't consider it. And unfortunately, they're overlooking an area of the Christian life that's vital. And that's where the whole armor of God steps in. You know, if people want evidence of a God, really the evidence of God and his workings is the reaction of demonic people towards you. That if our Bible is just a book like any book, and if our faith in Jesus Christ is just another type of faith, then why do we get these strange reactions? That's because the spirits inside them recognize the spirit inside the born-again believer, And that spirit is doing all they can to create drama to keep that perspective believer away from this party that can affect them. And then the drama, and off they go. And this is a common thing that takes place. I've watched this for years. A new believer, and then, okay, a new believer, and the devil brings, you know, somebody into their life to pull them away from Christ. And it's just a constant battle. So in verse 4, a great promise, true promise, that the Lord is greater. He is greater than unclean spirits, and we could tap into that power at any time. And we should tap into that. And of course, the great section in Ephesians about the whole armor of God. That whole section is how we can quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Then he says in verse 5, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. That's the false prophets. We are of God. We corporately, Jewish people, doctrinally, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Okay, now if we take that statement and go back to Ephesians or Ezekiel, God told Ezekiel, they hear you, they listen to you, but they're not going to do it. So that's what he told Ezekiel. He said, how long are you going to preach to these people? The Lord said, they're not going to listen to you, but I want them to know there's a prophet. I want them to know there's a man that's standing for me, and that's you. And so I'm sure Ezekiel thought, why waste the time? The Lord says, because that's what I want you to do. And he said, you are going to be a lovely song to them. So evidently he was good with music. But he said, they're talking about you. They're going to hear you, but they're not going to do anything. So this passage says, if they hear you, then they're of God. In Ezekiel's day, they heard them, but they didn't do it. And so when we see these different ideas throughout the Bible, we got to kind of put them in the rightful place. And he said, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. And then hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And that would be the discernment that we seek, because as the tares in the wheat until the time of the end, that's the absolute confusion. Okay, verse 6, oh, 7 another time. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do pray and ask you to help us to be good students of your word. Thank you for the folks who are here, that we all are seeking to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And I just pray you'd help us to be faithful to thee. In Jesus' name, amen.